Tonight we're going to be in the 23rd Psalm, one of my favorite psalms. I like to read it. I like to quote it. I guess if I could pick between all the books, if somebody gave me a choice and said, okay, on one side you got all the books that the world has to offer, and you can just pick out one chapter in the Bible, my choice would probably be the 23rd Psalm. It's been used to dry many tears. It's been used to provide much comfort. It's been used to supply hope in times of hopelessness. It's a song, somebody said, a perfect trust. A perfect trust. The singer, or the writer of the psalm, is King David. And I want you to notice just some of the words that David is sure of the Lord. There's no doubt in his mind. He's sure. He says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Or as a little girl one time said, the Lord is my shepherd. That's all I want. That's all I want. Psalm is divided into two parts. The first four verses deal with or picture Jesus, our great shepherd, somebody who watches and cares for his sheep. And then verses 5 and 6, which we didn't read, pictures the Lord as a host that provides refuge and pours out his kindness, as it says, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Tonight, I just want to stay in verses 1 through 4, and I want to direct your thoughts to the fact that he leads us. He leads us. And tonight I want to mention three places where he leads us. All right? Three places where our good shepherd, our great shepherd, leads us. Number one, he leads us into joy. Into joy. It says there, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. And green pastures and still waters are the best place for sheep. They are the best place for those that the Lord watches out for as a shepherd. It's a pleasant place. It's a joyous place. And that, just those two phrases, he leadeth me to green pastures, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures, he leadeth me to still waters, pictures what our good shepherd does for us in that he leads us into joy. Now, I'll remind you tonight, there's a difference between joy and happiness. Happiness depends on what's happening around you, all right? And it is determined by circumstances. It is determined by what's going on in your life. But that joy that our good shepherd leads us into is something that we can have regardless of the circumstances, regardless of the trials, regardless of the sorrows that are going on in our life. Joy always outweighs sorrows, or it should. It should always outweigh the circumstances of our life. We should always remember that we have joy that is given to us by the Lord, and he will lead us to those places that we need to be, and we can have that joy regardless of what's going on around us. The blue of the heaven always far outweighs the clouds. And you say, well, not in Michigan. Well, yes, they do. I mean, you go, like I was talking about in the open assembly this morning, you go high enough, you're going to see blue skies. Sometimes we get bogged down in the world, and especially where we live, we look up and all we can see are these gloomy clouds. But I want to remind you, above the clouds, there is a blue sky, and the blue sky far outweighs the clouds that are in the heavens. And the joy that God gives us far outweighs the circumstances or sorrow that may come in to our life. Our home, our family, our friends, the beauty of this world, the presence of God, the peace that we have, all come from him. He leads us there, and the world, regardless of how it tries, can't take it away. Choir sings a little song sometime, and one of the verses goes like this. This joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me. Didn't give it to me. This joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me. The world didn't give it, and the world can't take it away. We sing another little chorus. I've got joy unspeakable and full of glory, full of glory, full of glory. I've got joy unspeakable and full of glory. The half has never yet been told. And you might say tonight, well, preacher, you don't know my situation. My home's a mess. My family doesn't care. I have no friends. It's always cloudy. The sun never shines. I never feel the presence of God. I've got no peace. Let me ask you tonight, do you know Jesus as your Savior? And if you do, I'll remind you tonight that you are saved. Your sins have been washed away with the blood of Jesus Christ. On your record in heaven, God has wiped out every sin, and He has placed on your record in heaven the righteousness of Christ. And when I stand before God, if I went to stand before God tonight, He would see no sin. He would see the righteousness of His Son. You know, there's a verse in Revelation that talks about that day when there's going to be joy in heaven because Satan will be cast out. And the verse says, the accuser of the brethren will no longer stand before God and accuse us of our sins before Him. You see, I believe the story of Job is a true story. I don't believe Job was just made up to illustrate some point. I believe there was a man named Job. And I believe one day in heaven, Satan stood before God, and God said, have you seen my servant Job? He hates evil. He loves me. And Satan said, well, yeah, that's because you treated him so good. Take away everything he's got and see what he does. That's what Satan does. He's still doing it today. I mean, he stands before God and said, oh, yeah. See what's going on down there? You see that preacher down there? You see those members down there? They just love you because you take care of them. Take everything away. And we need to be careful when the sorrows come and when the heartaches come. We remember the joy that we have because we're on our way to heaven and our sins are forgiven. And the world can't take it away. It didn't give it to us and it can't rob it from us. It's ours forever and ever and ever. If you're saved, I will remind you tonight, you have a God and Savior that loves you. You have a Savior that went to Calvary's cross and took your place on the cross, bore every one of your sins, paid the price for those sins. And again, they are as far as the east is from the west. They are buried in the deepest part of the ocean. I remember one time, my wife and I got to go on a dealer trip to Hawaii, and we took a submarine ride. We didn't go very far off the coast, but we went down to the bottom of the ocean. And there was this great big mountain down there. And Debbie pokes me like this and says, there's your sins. I said, well, let me look around, see if I can find yours. Buried in the deepest sea. Yes, that's good enough for me. Praise God, my sins are G-O-N-E, gone. And I have a joy unspeakable and full of glory tonight because the world didn't give it and the world can't take it away. Let me remind you something else tonight. Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. I don't know about you, it gives me a tremendous amount of joy to know my Savior's in heaven preparing a place for me. He knows me better than anybody else. He's making a place just for me. And one of these days, whether it's by death or the rapture, I'm going to come into His presence. And He's going to say, welcome home. Welcome home. Let me show you where you're going to live. You see, it doesn't matter what's going on around us. We can have the joy of knowing that we have a God who loved us, a God who saved us, a God who is preparing a place for us in heaven, a God who will one day come and get us and take us to where He is so that we can be with Him forever and ever and ever and ever. You see, sometimes we get it all out of balance. We look at the things that are going on around us, and we forget the joy. We look at the circumstances of our life and we forget all the things that God has done for us. And I'll just, let me quote an old song to you tonight. It will be worth it all. All the trials and the sorrows that we go through down here, when we see Jesus, it will be worth it all. Life's trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of his dear face, all sorrow will erase. So bravely run the race till we see Christ. He leads us into joy. Number two, he leads us into righteousness. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Every place he leads us has a holy purpose. You ever stop and think about that? Every place that God leads us has a holy purpose. And his purpose for his children is to make us more like him. His purpose, every place he leads us, is to make us more like Christ. The Bible says he was tempted in all points like as we. In other words, he was tested in all points like as we, yet without sin. And so he leads us in that straight and narrow way, knowing what we're going to face because he's faced it all himself. And the Bible says he knows what we can take. And the Bible says there's no temptation common to man that he doesn't provide a way of escape. And so he knows where he's leading us. He knows what we can take. And sometimes it seems like the places that he's leading us are hard. I mean, sometimes it feels like somebody's taking a piece of sandpaper to us. Sometimes it feels like we're going through an old-time ringer on a washer. I know most of you are too young to remember this, but I remember when my grandma would do the wash on Monday, and it would take her all day. She had a round washing machine, and at the top of it were these two rollers. And you would put the clothes through those rollers to squeeze out all the water before you hung them on the clothesline. And I can remember helping her, putting those clothes through the wringer, and she'd always say, "Watch your fingers, watch your fingers, watch your fingers. Don't get your fingers caught in the roller." And sometimes it seems like life is like we're going through rollers that are just squeezing us. Sometimes it feels like somebody's taking a hammer and hitting us on the head or a saw and cutting us up. And you say, does God lead us into places like that? Yes. He puts us through the wringer sometimes. He puts us under the hammer sometimes. I mean, sometimes we're as stubborn. I sort of laughed when Brother Leonard was talking about his goat this morning. And it reminded me of a mule one time I met that liked to sleep on the back porch of a distant cousin I had. And I can remember going down there one time, and my cousin was trying to get the mule off the porch like Brother Leonard tried to get his goat out of his mom's bed. And I can remember that my cousin, coaxing that mule just as much as he could until finally he went and got a 2x4. And I said, "What are you going to do with that?" He said, "Watch." And he went over there and hit that mule right in the head. And Ken, I don't know if that works or not, but he struck that mule. And the mule just sat there. And he started going like this. I wasn't going to get close to him. I was afraid he was going to bite me. But sometimes I think that God feels like that about us. He says, "You're so stubborn, I'm going to get the 2x4 out, smack you up beside the head to get your attention to say, hey, it's time to move on. It's time to get up and go on." And so sometimes God leads us into circumstances like that. But remember, everything has a holy purpose. He's trying to make us more like Jesus. And sometimes he has to knock a lot of the rough edges off in order to make us more like him. And so sometimes it feels like sandpaper. And sometimes it feels like the ringer. And sometimes it feels like a saw. And sometimes it feels like a hammer. But I want to remind you tonight, he leads us there. So we're never there by ourselves. He's always somewhere close. He's either got us by the hand, or he's beside us and has a hold of our arm, or he's behind us with his hands on our shoulder. He is leading us. Sometimes, again, he's ahead of us, pulling us by the hand. Sometimes he's beside of us, walking side by side. Sometimes he's behind us, pushing us. But he is leading us into those places that he knows that we need to be to make us more like Jesus. And so we just need to keep pressing on. I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. You know, I was thinking about this week. One of the greatest compliments that a child can give to a parent or grandparent is to say, Daddy, Mommy, Grandpa, Grandma, when I grow up, I want to be just like you. Huh? Great compliment. One of the greatest compliments a student can give a teacher is, when I grow up, I want to be just like you. The greatest, greatest gift that we can give to God is to want to get to the end of our life and be just like Jesus. Paul said, or David said, I will not be satisfied until I awake with your likeness. And we should be striving every day and understand the places that God leads us, those places of righteousness, is to make us more like his Son. So he leads us into joy. He leads us into righteousness. Number three, he leads us through sorrow. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Last Saturday night, we were at the hospital, and they took the tube out of Laura's mom that was helping her breathe. Larry and Bev was there, Lauren Sierra was there, I was there. And after they did that, and we were there for a while, I quoted part of the 23rd Psalm. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. And I told them a little story that I had read the week before. You know that verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 where the Bible asks the question, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? I told them a little story about a mom and a little girl that was out picking flowers. And there was just this one bee that was just swarming around them, just buzzing back and forth, just they would swat at it, but it wouldn't go away, just back and forth all around them. And the little girl was a little frightened, and she said, Mommy, I'm afraid that bee's going to sting me. And her mom looked down at her and said, Honey, you don't need to worry about it. You just don't need to worry about it. And the little girl looked up at her mommy and said, Well, why not? It's buzzing all around us. It could sting me at any time. And her mommy pointed to a whelp on her arm and said, Honey, that bee's already stung me. It only has one stinger. Can't sting you. It's already stung me. And I thought, what a picture. Oh, death, where is thy sting? There is no sting because Christ went before us. He took the sting out of death. And so when I approach death or when others approach death that I'm around, I always remind myself and those that are around me, it's just a shadow of death. It's not real death. I mean, yeah, it's death from a physical standpoint, but if they're Christian, I mean, and I only say this for Christians, that those that don't have Christ don't have this hope. But if we know Jesus Christ as our Savior, death has no sting because Jesus Christ took the sting for us. And I walk through that valley of the shadow of death, but it's not really death, because if I leave this earth by death, if a Christian leaves this earth by death, we go to be present with the Lord. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. I leave this body, I go to be with my Savior. I leave this body, I go to be with my God. I leave this body, I go to that place called heaven. What's wrong with that? Nothing. I have a joy unspeakable and full of glory. And so he leads us into sorrow, but he goes with us. Now, if it was up to us, we would choose not to go there. We wouldn't. None of us, let's just be honest tonight, if we had a choice, we would not walk through sorrow. I mean, if I made a list of different things, and I had a column, yes or no, and I listed those things, and then I gave it to you and say, okay, put a check mark by each one you'd be willing to go into. And so I listed cancer. Everybody would check the no box. If I listed heart problems, everybody would check the no box. If I listed back problems, everybody would check the no box. If I listed unemployment, everybody would check the no box. If I listed death, everybody would check the no box. If I listed divorce, everybody would check the no box. If I listed an estranged child, everybody would check the no box. Everybody would check every box. No, if we had our choice, we would not choose to go through sorrow. But I want to remind you tonight that God sometimes leads us there. Our good shepherd sometimes leads us there because it's in the midst of sorrow that we feel his presence more than any other time. It's in the storm that Teresa sang about. This is a little chorus that we sang, that they played for the offertory, when the storm passes over. Yes, it's in the middle of the storm where we feel his presence. Go ahead and ask Daniel, would you have chose to go into the lion's den? No, but I felt the presence of my God there more than I did any other place. Go ahead and ask Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, would you have chose to go into the fiery furnace? No, but they got to be in the presence of the Son of God. Even old wicked King Nebuchadnezzar, when he looked into the furnace, said, hey, we only threw three men in there, and they were tied up, and there's four of them, and they're loose. And one of them has the form of the Son of God. Don't you tell me that verse in Philippians isn't true. One of these days, though the world has ignored him, and though the world does not know him, one of these days every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord. And they'll recognize him the same way that old wicked King Nebuchadnezzar recognized him. When you see God, you know it's God. Go ahead and ask Paul. Paul, if you had a choice, would you choose the beatings and the stoning and the shipwreck? Would you? Paul said, no. But it was in those times that I felt the presence of my God, and he strengthened me to make it through it. Talk to each of them. They'll tell you the closest that you feel to God is when you're going through the storm, through the sorrow. I mean, you don't even have to go back and talk to those guys. You can talk to people in this church. Talk to those that have had cancer. Go ahead and talk to them. I mean, there's some of them here tonight. When's the closest you felt to God? When did you feel his presence more than any other time? Right in the middle of chemo, right when there looked like there was no hope, right when the doctor says there's nothing else we can do, that's when God moves in and you feel his presence. Talk to those that have had open heart surgery, several here tonight, and talk to them. When did they feel the closest to God? Right as they got to go under the knife, right as they wondered if they were going to wake up after it was all over. You see, God leads us through the valley, and he leads us into sorrow. And we never go there alone. And sometimes it takes sorrow to just burn away all the things of the world and all the things that get in our way and all the things that block our view of him. And in that sorrow, all those things just sort of, we push them to the side because we realize they're not important at all. And we get a clear view. We get a clear view of our Savior. We get a clear view of the one who died for us. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. me. He never leaves us or forsakes us. He knows what we're going through, and he is there with us to prop us up, to hold us up, to encourage us, to comfort us, to help us go on. Listen, as the songwriter says it, he leadeth me, O blessed thought, O words with heavenly comfort fraught. Whate'er I do, where'er I be, still 'tis God's hand that leadeth me. Sometimes mid seams of deepest gloom, sometimes when Eden bowers bloom, by waters still over troubled sea, still 'tis God's hand that leadeth me. Lord, I would clasp thy hand in mine, nor ever murmur nor repine, content whatever lot I see, since 'tis God's hand that leadeth me. Oh, if we could just grab a hold of that verse. So many of us are like the Israelites. We want to complain about everything. But if we'd realize that he's leading us there, he's got a holy purpose for us to be there. And we've got him by the hand, he's got us by the hand. And why should we murmur? Why should we complain? It's his hand that leadeth me. And when my time on earth is done, when by thy grace the victory's won, in death's cold wave I will not flee, since God through Jordan leadeth me. He leadeth me, he leadeth me. By his own hand he leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by his hand he leadeth me. If you're a Christian tonight, that's what God's doing. Sometimes we forget that he leads us. Sometimes we don't acknowledge his presence. But he made a promise to us. He said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. Never leave you or forsake you. He's always there. Always there. If you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you don't have any of these things I've been talking about tonight. You need to come and you need to ask Jesus to be your Savior. You're a sinner. The wages of sin is death. He said, no man cometh to the Father but by me. I'm the way and the only way. You can't get right with God any other way. So if you're here tonight and you don't know Christ, would you come? Just get it settled. Get it settled. If you're a Christian here tonight, you got a joy. The world didn't give it to you. The world can't take it away. Let's remember about that joy. Let's remember he wants us to make us, he's trying to make us more like him. And let's remember when he leads us into sorrow, he's there with us. And that's when we feel his presence. Let's pray. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the encouragement that it gives us, the promises that it reminds us of. And I pray tonight, if there's somebody here that doesn't know Jesus, that tonight they would come and they would make that decision and ask Jesus to save them. I pray for the many Christians that are here. Father, help us to remember the joy that we have. Circumstances can't take it away. The world can't take it away because it comes from you. And I pray if you're speaking to Christians tonight that we'd be obedient. And if you're telling us we need to do something, we just go ahead and do it. Father, bless this time of invitation. Again, use it to build your kingdom. We give ourselves to you. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.